Good morning. This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat and cattle markets for Monday, January 8th. Well, wheat markets got off to a pretty impressive start for the year 2018. Didn't hold those gains very well as we wrapped up the first week of trading. But for the first couple days, strong rallies in response to extremely cold temperatures across the central and southern plains. Of course, the northern plains is where the cold originated, but they had plenty of snow cover. But as you got into Kansas and on south, virtually no snow cover across central and southern plains, and we had temperatures well below zero in Kansas and just dipping below zero in the northern part of the Texas panhandle. So clearly it was cold enough to do some damage, and the trade seems to feel that there probably was some notable damage done, but it's just too difficult to assess it at this time of year. Now, as we look at the next 2 weeks, we're coming out of the extreme cold into much above normal temperatures. So this is going to add to the stress. We don't see any moisture on the horizon either for the next couple weeks, but you're probably going to get some heaving here, and that's going to stress the crop even more. So we'll see where this takes us, but obviously the winter wheat crop under duress as we start out 2018. Of course, got the major crop reports on Friday. One of those will be the winter wheat plantings report. The trade expects that we'll probably see about a million acre drop in winter wheat plantings, most of that coming from hard red winter wheat. So add that to, you know, add the crop stress and declining yields likely on top of declining acres, and this probably will push us into record low acres. This, I think, certainly sets the stage for some dynamics to the upside in hard red winter wheat and probably the whole wheat complex. But there's so much overhang on this market from the massive crop out of Russia, good production out of Argentina, and world prices that just can't seem to get any traction to the upside. And we saw that in last week's trade as the U.S. wheat market pushed up against those old trading range lows, just barely creeping into the trading range, and then it backed away. So it looks like we're failing once again at that very important inflection price level, and looks like we're going to get a pullback, but I would expect that these pullbacks will be well supported. The cash trade is holding together very well. The basis is at a three-year high. So clearly there are two different things going on in the wheat complex. The cash market's trying to keep wheat in the pipeline, pulling wheat out of storage facilities, and it's doing that with the strong basis, but the futures market just can't seem to get any traction. The large traders have been carrying a heavy short position in Chicago and Kansas City, in fact a record short in Kansas City, but they've reduced the size of those positions. I think it's also worth noting. We see that for the commitment of traders report, large traders reduce their short positions in Kansas City and Chicago wheat. They also reduce their longs in Minneapolis, reduce the shorts in corn, and increase the shorts in soybeans. So to wrap up the week, we saw Chicago wheat up 4, Kansas City up 10, Minneapolis up 12. Corn was unchanged, and soybeans were up 10. Soybeans getting a little bit of support here from potential business down the road, but I think you're going to run into headwinds there with the Brazilian soybean harvest just getting started in the northern reaches. This is where most of the exportable supplies come from, at least the early exportable supplies. Now, there's been some drying trends there that might shave off some top-end yield, but at this point, if you're already harvesting, heat is not going to really hurt yields all that much. Export sales on Friday weren't much of a help either, where we saw that for wheat, 131,000 tons, that was well below the low end of the range of estimates and a marketing year low. Much of that coming from a cancellation of 110,000 tons of hard red winter wheat from Morocco. So year-to-date sales in wheat are at 74% of USDA's projections. That's about 5 points behind the average. So for corn sales on Friday, 101,000 tons, I mean, that was worse than wheat, and that was well below its low end of the range of estimates from 600,000 to 1 million tons. So year-to-date sales of corn, 55%, that's about 3 points behind the average. And soybeans running way behind their average at 68% sold of USDA's projections. That's compared to 83% sold on the average. And Friday didn't help, 561,000 tons sold of soybeans. That was just below the low end of the range of estimates. So the grain complex, you know, certainly feeling the sluggishness from the holiday trade, but boy, we're not getting off to we didn't wrap up 2017 very strong as far as export sales go, and we're behind. So we've got these major crop reports on Friday. winter wheat plantings, we already talked about, got the quarterly stocks, and then of course we have the monthly supply demand report. There's a pretty good chance that USDA is going to lower export projections for both corn and soybeans, and probably wheat as well. We're just not keeping up. We've seen the pace from Russia continue to be very strong. This late in the year, the marketing year, is unusual. Usually their shallow water ports, which is where most of their capacity comes from, are frozen over by now. But it's been above normal temperatures across the Black Sea all fall and early winter. So they've been able to move a lot more wheat than normal this deep into the marketing year. Now that they are going to get some cold temperatures, those are going to freeze over. But a lot of that damage has already been done, where they've been able to usurp a lot of other traders from around the world simply because weather has allowed them to do so. And speaking of sales, Algeria was adjusted the amount of wheat that they bought last week. Originally, it was reported that they had bought 390,000 tons of optional origin. They increased that over the weekend to 550,000 tons. And also over the weekend, Iraq bought 50,000 tons of Australian wheat and 50,000 of Canadian wheat. Ukraine reporting that 81% of their winter grains are in good to satisfactory condition, compared to 14% that is sitting at poor conditions. The Argentina, you know, their harvest is pretty much wrapped up, as is Australia. But as far as their row crops go, they're still looking at a stretch here of pretty dry conditions and hot for most of Argentina, and that stretches up into southern Brazil. This is the heart of corn country for Argentina. 80% of what they grow is in this region that has been trending dry, and now is looking at about a 10-day stretch of hot and dry. So, you know, the government in Argentina is already starting to shave off yields, yield potential and production, of course, in corn. Now, ultimately, I think that's going to at least offer some support to the corn complex. You still got a huge carryover here in the United States and around the world for that matter, in addition to a lot of feed wheat around. So it's not like you're going to turn this into a major bull market, but it will at least offer some support to the corn complex. And that in turn would offer some support to the wheat as well. So that wraps it up for the wheat commentary, taking a look at cattle. There too, the market started out 2018 with a bang, sharply higher in response to the cold conditions stressing cattle across central and southern plains, but it didn't last very long. And you know, on Tuesday was sharply higher, Wednesday you kind of chop around, Thursday you get an outside day lower, and then on Friday you gap lower with a big day down. So it doesn't look good for the cattle complex. It seems like we ran out of gas pretty fast. And it looks like that's going to be the case here. It looks like we've seen some seasonal highs. The cash trade getting rolling. The packers needing to get numbers around them for a full kill week this week. And they were pretty aggressive buying. Most of the trade taking place late on Friday, which is typical. But what we saw was cash on the Fed trade around 121 to 124. That was up 1 to 3. Dress trade at 193 to 195, that was up 1 to 4. The box beef trade on Friday was higher, choice up 84 cents at 210, select up 146 at 202. And for the week, the choice was up $7 and select was up $9. So the cash trade certainly leading the way higher and giving the market something to hold on to as far as some upward momentum, but it really just couldn't. The trader stepped up and started to lean on the market. So for the week, live cattle ended at 230 lower for the week. Feeder cattle was still up 62 for the week, but boy, Friday removed almost everything it had gained for the week. Large traders have been moving away from their long positions in the cattle complex for several weeks, and that continued last week, where we saw them reduce their long positions of both the lives and the feeders. Export sales on Friday for beef, 10,500 ton. Japan took 2,700 of that. Hong Kong took 1,700 of that. So the export sales have been picking up for beef. We've seen domestic demand be strong for beef and pork, for that matter. Excuse me. And that has continued to be the case through the holidays. So that's encouraging. But you're headed into a stretch where you're going to see the results of heavy placements, you know, far above market expectations, starting in about July. So those numbers are hitting the market, and weights had been increasing up through up until last week. Now, the cold is probably going to reduce those weights somewhat, but the cold moved out fairly quickly. And it was just that. It was just cold. It wasn't wet snow. It wasn't blowing snow. It wasn't muddy conditions that developed. So, you know, the cold came in, stressed some cattle, likely, and then moved out. Now you're looking at above to much above normal temperatures across virtually the entire mid-central United States. So this is going to return conversion rates pretty high to near record highs again. So we'll see those weights pick up here fairly quickly. So the market's looking at several months, really, of big numbers coming into the market and realistically probably some increasing weights as well. So beef production is going to ramp up here quickly. Consumer demand is going to have to absorb that, and I think it'll, you know, the improving demand is going to absorb part of it, but I just don't see it being able to absorb all of this extra beef coming into the market. And exports, even if they stay strong, are not going to be able to handle it either. So we're looking at a stretch, I think, of another leg down in the cattle complex. So this move, this rally that we've seen over the last couple weeks, and especially the chart formation suggesting a high, certainly an opportunity to get some hedges put in place. If you have any questions on grains or cattle, don't hesitate to give me a call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.